So today we're going to go a little bit back in time and look at case 39 in the Denkuroku. Yinchu Daoying first took the robes of the monk and studied the Vinaya. This is a study and observance of the rules of conduct and their moral and ethical implications for a Buddhist monastic. These rules lay out the behavior a monastic need adhere to throughout his or her waking day. In the best sense, these rules are beautiful bells of mindfulness to guide and hold the practitioner. We touch this container of possibility in Sesshin, where we move as one body, expressing the underlying dance of mutual support and interdependence. Again, at their best, they can lay out a choreographed field of movement, which allows us to forget ourselves and live a life of art-filled engagement while arranging flowers, while cleaning toilets, while cooking food and brushing our teeth. At their worst, they can support the strict and rigidified superego. It is from this misuse and misunderstanding of religious rules that fundamentalism takes root and spreads. And incidentally, a Buddhist female monastic follows many, many more rules than a male monastic and is always junior to a monk. So after spending time studying and practicing the Vinaya, Yinju Daoying made his way to Mount Nan, where he sat and studied with the Zen master, Su Wei Hu Shu. At some point, he traveled on and came to Mount Dong and met Dongshan. On arriving, Dongshan said, "Where have you come from?" The new arrival said, "I come from Su Hui." Dongshan asked, "What is Su Hui saying to his students these days?" Yinju Daoying said, "Once, when Su Hui was making offerings to the arahats, I asked him, 'You're making offerings to those from before us, but do you think they will come to accept the offerings?' Su Hui asked, 'What do you eat every day?'" Dongshan asked, "Did he really say that?" And the new student said, "Yes." Dongshan said, "You didn't meet that adept in vain." So the dialogue continued, and this is the koan we take up in the Dokusan room with Dongshan asking, "What is your name?" Yinju Daoying said, "Daoying." Dongshan said, "Tell me from the upward stage." Yinju said, "If I speak from the upward stage, I am not Daoying." Dongshan said, "That is exactly what I said to my teacher when he asked this question." So before going on, I'd like to tell you of the other translations for "tell me from the upward stage." Ferguson writes, "Look up and then say it," which is a very literal translation and I think misses the point. Cleary says, as he often does, "Say it from the transcendental plane." And Cook translates it, "Say it from beyond." So let me read you Cook's footnote for his translation. He writes, "Beyond is Kojo. It is often used by Dogen, for instance, to denote a continuing upward movement beyond any temporary state of awakening or understanding. Thus, in Dogen's essay, Bukko Kojoji, the term means going beyond Buddha, and it refers to the Zen insistence that the student not get stuck in any stage of development, but move through it to the next stage, and so on and on endlessly. To constantly go beyond thus precludes attachment to some stage of understanding." And he says, in the present chapter, Yinchu seems to use the term to mean something like absolute, so that his question is, tell me who you are from the standpoint of absolute truth. From this point of view, Tao Ying cannot say that his name is Tao Jing. So I'll come back to this as we look more closely at the dialogue. So first, here's the verse that caps this case from Robert Aiken. He says, name and form are not accompanied up to now. How can it be preached as upward or downward? And here is Cook. Never has it been bound to names and forms. How can you speak of it as absolute or relative? So I'd like to take a moment and look at one of the dialogue lines that precedes the actual Denku Roku dialogue. Dongshan asked Hyunju where he came from, and he said, from Su Hui's place. Dongshan then wondered what he was teaching his students. He is open and honest and quite curious here and has nothing to defend. And he's simply guided by his teaching capacity and his own sense of wonderment and curiosity. So often others might be quick to criticize other lineages or other styles of practice. Sometimes folks are immediately dismissive. Oh, koans, that is creating more objects of mind. Or shikantaza, that gets flat and complacent. Or mindfulness, oh, that is only psychological. But Dongshan was open and curious. And by being open, curious, sometimes wonderful things might arise, as they did in this dialogue when Yunju said, once when Su Hui was making offerings to the arahats, I asked him, you're making offerings to the arahats, but do you think they will come or not? I wonder if Hyunju was thinking that his old teacher was being kind of superstitious, making offerings to the long dead, and thus his question was a little chastising. I wonder too what you think during our meals when we say, oh, all you hungry ghosts, we now offer this food to you. May all of you everywhere share it with us together. Just superstition? Some type of leftover magical thinking from the time of magicians, wizards, and levitating holy men? Or is something else being evoked and invited that is actually necessary to our practice and well-being? Our present time is filled with the wonders of science. We're mapping the galaxies and multidimensional universes. We're mapping the genomes and we're mapping the neurological pathways of the brain. But I wonder if we're leaving things out that could be important for us. I remember a night when Aiken Roshi last joined us for Sesshin at Camp Indianola. It was sometime in the mid-1990s. He came into the Zendo at the closing ceremony. And after we finished the four great vows in Sino-Japanese and our truncated Han Bell ceremony in three bows, he stopped us before leaving the Zendo and thanked us. He thanked us for saying the vows in a language foreign to us, but not foreign to others in the Sesshin, who knew the words more intimately than they knew themselves. I remember looking around the room and seeing just a group of male and female English speakers, and I wondered what he was seeing and who he was talking about. And I know those he referred to cannot be mapped, measured, or weighed by science, reason, or ordinary cognition. Anyway, Su Hui responded to, "Do you think they will come to accept the offerings or not?" with, "What do you eat every day? What do you make of this?" In my mind, Su Hui seems certain that the offering, the serving, and the acceptance of our daily bread complete a necessary circle that makes us religious, where religion means tied together or bound together. The offering, the serving, the acceptance is a circle like the Rakusu ring, a circle of gratitude, a circle of grace, a circle where no thing is left out, not even those who came before us centuries and centuries ago from a different culture and from a different land and language, but with the very same desire that each one of us has, the desire to wake up, the desire to wake up and save all beings. So Dongshan said, "Did he really say that?" I imagine Dongshan found that to be both a marvelous and wonderful answer and a sweet-spirited acknowledgement to those who hope opened this well-worn pathway for us and still to this very day guide us. And with that, we come to the koan that we take up in the Dokusan room. "So please," Dongshan asked, "what is your name?" And the new student said, the new student Yunju Daoying said, "Daoying, what do you think? What would you have said?" One time, Yang Shan asked San Sheng, "What is your name?" Sheng said, "My name is Hui Qi." Yang Shan said, "Hui Qi, that's me." Sheng said, "Oh, my name then is Hui Zhang." And Yan Sheng gave a great laugh. This is akin to me asking Lupita her name, and she responds, "My name is Jack." I then say, "That's my name." And Lupita says, "Oh, then my name is Lupita." These are intimations. There are intimations of this fundamental reality in our everyday lives, where in one moment you are mother, and in the next moment your daughter. Later on you're a lawyer, and then after that a harried shopper. Moment after moment, it never stops flowing, raising its head here and its tail over there. It is constantly showing itself, now as you and me, then as a candle and flower, and then as the raven and robin. And now as clouds rising in the west, passing through the mind of sky, and then dissipating with new conditions in the east. When Bodhidharma was standing in front of the emperor demanded, "Who are you?" Bodhidharma said, "Don't know. I don't know where I came from. I don't know where I'm going. And I don't know who I am." This response is beyond Buddha, beyond Bodhidharma. Another way to say it might be that beyond is actually before. It is before any construct of self. It is before thought, before feeling, before sensation. These conversations or dialogues, and this is Dogen now, represent activity beyond sound and form. How could they fail to provide a standard before knowledge and understanding? When you are sitting in the fullness of sound, when you're sitting in the middle of Mu, when you're sitting in the vast boundlessness of Zazen, Who are you? The dialogue between Yang Shan and San Sheng was different than the case we're looking at today. They knew each other and were playing, throwing sparks back and forth, first lighting one candle, then another one. Deng Shan, though, had not yet met the new student, so he asked, "What is your name?" But a Zen master is always a Zen master, and his question is also a sounding of the great ocean. So Dao Ying answered, saying, "My name is Dao Ying." And Deng Shan said, "What about from the upward stage, or say it from beyond?" So in the Shobogenzo, Dogen wrote a piece titled Bukko Kojoji, or The Matter Beyond Buddha, or The Process of Going Beyond Buddha. This facile makes two points. First, is that practice is continuing and continuous, and moment by moment, it constantly changes. No matter where you are in practice, there is still continuing. Even if you match the Buddha, you need go past the Buddha idea that you carry. Even if you meet Bodhidharma, you need move past Bodhidharma. These may be places to rest, but there is nowhere to stop. And the second point is when you drop or forget subject, object, and activity. When you have completely forgot listening when you are listening. When you have completely forgot arranging flowers when you're arranging flowers. When you've completely forgot cleaning toilets, you've gone beyond. You've gone beyond the relative relationships of here and there, of male and female, of you and me. You have gone beyond or past, or as I prefer to say, you have gone through. When you have forgotten the subject, object, and activity of arranging flowers, who are you? When you muster the whole body and mind in walking, in eating, in sitting, who are you? This way of going beyond has nothing to do with transcendence or going beyond to another place and time. Going beyond our limited perspectives and perceptions of the self, however, is to be more immediately and persistently here, now, but without any indications or narrowings of time and space. Hae-jin Kim, in his Flowers of Emptiness, writes, "In and through the discipline of Zazen, the process of going beyond the Buddha moves past cause and effect, practice and verification, while at the very same time embracing and fulfilling them. The very being of the Buddha is the always dynamic process of going beyond itself to itself. The emphasis in going beyond is not transcendence, but realization. Realizing that you and I are not different, but also are not the same." So this all gives us some context for Deng Shan's question, "Please say your name beyond the Buddha." In that case, I am not Dao Hing. This is nameless Dao Hing going beyond Buddha. This is nameless Dao Hing going beyond self. This is nameless Dao Ying going beyond Dao Ying, and thus completely and utterly being Dao Hing. This is momentarily Dao Hing, as Hui Qi, as Hui Zhang, as Deng Shang. This is momentarily Dao Ying when he says, I am not Dao Ying, being you, and me. But in the very next moment, Dao Ying is simply himself. Dao Ying is simply herself, as she puts out the kitty for the evening, turns out the lights throughout the old house, and sets the alarm for 5 a.m. Zazen before going to sleep, readying for the next day of session. Okay, thank you.